Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
I had mentioned to you just a few weeks ago over a family member that some of us know, those of us who have been here at Rock of Ages for several years, the Benavides family. Sister and Brother Benavides are already with the Lord, but her children remain up here in the area of the Austin area. And I mentioned to you a couple of weeks ago and how one of the sisters, there's three girls, there were four girls, but three girls, and the youngest of them all had contracted or had gotten pancreatic cancer. And it's a very detrimental to her health. We obviously know that any kind of cancer is not a good thing. But they called because we communicate a lot, and we're like family. They are simply like brothers and sisters, but they seem to be so much closer to us, to me and my family. Her parents were like second parents to me when they were here at Rock of Ages. They instructed me in so much and counseled me every service and every time we could get together. So we love them dearly. But they're undergoing a very difficult time of duress in their life right now. And just a couple of weeks ago, they took her into the hospital and did everything they could, only to send her back home just recently, saying that there's nothing else that they could do. It's about 6 months now with her pancreatic cancer. It's now moved about her body, so it's affected her. But I find something that's so intriguing and so awesome about our conversations. That in spite of the pain that these people talk to me about, and I'm on the phone with them, and we're weeping together, and we're praying together over Gloria. Her name is Gloria. It's so awesome to hear that as we dedicate this baby, I mentioned that the instruction they receive from their parents will remain until they see Jesus. And I find it so awesome that these women, family members of Gloria, are now girls in the 70s and 60s, just like I am. And so I find that in all these years have gone, they live far away, so distance is a problem for us, but we communicate by phone. But I've known them as Christians here, and now after all the years that have been upstate now and they're going through these things, I still hear the voice of faith in them. Through their tears, they say, you know, Pastor, he says, I know we're going through a real rough time, and please pray for Gloria. She's our little sister. She's agonizing now, and she's going through so much trouble, and I can sense the pain over the phone and stuff, and we're praying together and talking. But still, in spite, there seems to be a certain zeal that rises up in the middle of the tears that says, but I know we have the victory in Christ. I know that we are overcomers in Christ. Just last night, a cousin of mine up in California, she is also the wife of a pastor up in Visalia, California. We used to speak on a weekly basis before. They've been up there for 30-some-odd years. And we started communicating through text and sometimes weekly. But for the past 4 months, we had not talked for some reason. We just kind of got busy, and she went about her business as I did. And I ended up yesterday calling her to see how she was doing because it had been 3 or 4 months since we've talked. And so I text her and I said, hey, how you doing, girl? I haven't heard from you in several months. He goes, well, I can't text you. I have to call you. I said, okay. Well, I figured that again, she'd be telling me I got a new grandson or grandchild or we bought a new car or a house or whatever. So whatever story she may want to tell me, she obviously seemed excited to speak to me personally over the phone. And only to speak to her, and she told me the most horrendous journey she's been on for the past 4 months. Well, she had colon cancer, and she had a cancer in her stomach as well that affected her lymph nodes and her uterus and everything feminine in her body, the organisms that she says, I just went through a powerful surgery. I had everything pulled out. And I have now a colostomy bag and all these things. And I was sitting there on the phone, absolutely shocked, ladies and gentlemen. My tears began to flow. These are family members that we know when we were little kids. And we see, again, she is my age. just to hear the tragedies of her journey in life while away. But again, I need to say that something was so striking to me and ended up with such an encouragement, which brings about this conversation this morning, is that in spite of it all, she said, I've experienced nothing but the grace of God. And you're almost sitting there, and I preach it all the time, but still you're beside yourself going, the grace of God. Cousin, I need to tell you that I experienced the grace and the power and the mercy of God through everything she has been through. She's undertaking now chemotherapy till December. He says, pray for me. She's got beautiful hair. She goes, I'm losing all my hair. And I said, well, you've been beautiful with or without your hair. She goes, well, I'll send you a picture when I don't have any. But she was almost vivacious and high-spirited in her conversation. And I was on the other side on my knees crying, the phone away, because of what she was telling me. It was a powerful thing to hear the tragedies and the sufferings of people. And I had to tell her as I closed in my talking to her, I said, listen, her name is Naomi. I said, Naomi, I need to tell you, and please don't misunderstand what I'm about to say, but I'm so glad I talked to you. And I'm so glad you give me this testimony. And I said, and I'm not telling you because I'm glad of the illness that you've contracted in your body. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm so thankful that because of your testimony, I am encouraged to believe that in spite of all we go through in life, there are still people here in this world who believe that we can do all things through Christ and that we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. And we wept together over the phone and we prayed and I said goodbye and I laid down and I began to pen things out for this morning. And I simply come this morning, if it doesn't make any sense, I pray that at least one thing makes sense, is that you and I at the end will overcome. I said we will overcome. We will overcome. And that is a truth, ladies and gentlemen, that is often forgotten in the lives of believers. Because of everything that's happening around us, you heard what happened in the White House or in Pennsylvania yesterday, the tragedy, the ugliness, the violence, all these things that people get engulfed with that controls them. It's a powerful thing that is going on. The world is in chaos. And so you can understand how easy it would be for many to be disillusioned and say, what for? People are getting sick. Cancer is rampant. It's happening everywhere. People are dying. And now look, the world is chaotic now. There's such a great argument. There's so much hatred in this world. So much, the politics of this world has completely infected the hearts of people, even the church. And so it's easy to crumble up and go, wow, man, Jesus, throw your hands up in the air. But then you speak to someone who's standing at the edge of eternity and says, you know, I'm not afraid because I know that I'm a winner. I know that I will overcome. And I said, thank you for reminding me of that truth that we so often forget and so easily forget because of the world that we live in today. And so this morning, in a simple way, ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you, and I've titled my conversation with you this morning simply, I will overcome. And as simple as that title is, it's actually the most powerful truth you could live on. As trivial as we take that statement, I'll be okay, or we'll get over it, or we have so many ways of saying, you know, this too shall pass. As simple as that may sound, there's a profound truth that can make all the difference in our lives as believers. To trust and believe in God's word will make all the difference between someone living in fear or living in faith. When you come to Christ, there is a transformation that is supposed to happen if you believe His word, a transformation that will take you from living a life of anxiety to living a life of peace. If you believe God's word and you receive it, it has a transforming power that calls in you that will take you from one place of living as a victim to walking your life and living out your days as a victor in the presence of the Lord. I will overcome. I've read this passage many times and possibly many times before you, but I'll read it again. How many know that God's word is eternal and doesn't fade out? It's fresh every day. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2 and 14, thanks be unto God who is in Christ. Always, everybody say always. Say it again, always. Now with conviction, always. Leads us in triumph. That is not a suggestion. That is not something that was simply commented, but it is a matter of fact. Thanks be unto God, who in Christ always leads us in triumph. Now listen to this carefully. And through us, say through us, say through me, spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. You know what this means? I told the church this morning, I said, you know, how sad is it when someone walks through the threshold of our building and what he finds inside this place is a community that sets out the aura of destruction? How sad is it for someone who is hurting out in this unbelieving world, let it be through sickness, let it be through whatever hurts they are going through, to come into the house of God and what they feel inside the house of God is nothing else but despair. How sad a situation. When the Bible says here that what is supposed to be spread, that is the aura about you, the ambience of you in a place should demonstrate your faith in Christ and your faith in Christ living in victory. When people walk in through the thresholds of the church house, what they should feel is a sense of overcoming. When they come into the church house, what they should sense when they come in here is the sense of victory. They should feel in their hearts that sense of something being the Holy Spirit telling them, this too shall pass. You will survive. No weapon forged against you will prosper. You are an overcomer and more than an overcomer. This is what Paul said. He always leads us in triumph. And through us, he spreads the fragrance. That means that the people should smell the peace in your heart. They should smell victory on you. I was thinking of the Apostle Peter, and we all know his story. We all ill speak Peter all the time because he's the one that denied Christ 3 times. That may be the only thing you remember about him. You don't remember that he was the first man that preached the gospel, that over 3,000 people got saved. But we do remember that Jesus said the cock will crow 3 times, you'll deny me. But I was thinking of the Apostle Peter, and this is not in my notes, this is something that just comes into my heart, but I was thinking about him, and you remember the Bible says that when Jesus told him he would deny him, immediately he did, and he finds himself, I can imagine, maybe around a campfire in the middle of some park in the city, and people around him, I begin to identify him and say, aren't you the one that hangs around with Jesus? And Peter quickly responds, he goes, I have no idea who you're talking about. No, hold on a second. No, it is you. It is you. You were hanging around with Jesus. You're the one that walks with Jesus. You're one of those guys they call of the way. No, I'm telling you, that's not me. Let me just hang out here with you guys. I'm not here to cause any trouble. The third guy said, listen, I'm telling you, I'm absolutely positive. And finally, we know that he ill spoke and he cried bitterly because of what he said in his denial. But I think about, why is it that these people identified Christ, Peter, as being one of those that walk with Christ? And the only thing I can come up with, at least one of the ideas that come up with, is that he still smelled like Christ. He still had the cologne of Christ. He had, even though he's trying to stray with everything that he could, people still could smell that he was around the Lord. That means that there's something about us, ladies and gentlemen. This is why, and I've said this, and it's almost comical, but you can't even backslide properly when you've been with Christ. And that's a wonderful thing to know. Because I dare say that there have been many that try to go back to their regular circle of unbelief that they came from, and they don't even fit anymore because they smell different. You try to say, listen, man, I'm part of the group. Remember me? I'm the joker. I'm the one that used to lead the crowd to doing all these things. Get out of here. You don't even belong here. Oh, but I'm not in the church anymore. It doesn't matter. You were there, weren't you? And God won't even allow us to backslide properly. That's a beautiful thing. But I say all this to tell you that there's something about us that should spread the knowledge of Christ. He also says here, he always, you know, always by definition means every time. It means all day. It means continuously. It means perpetually. It means in any event, under any circumstance. It means uninhabited or uninhibited, rather. It means all the way through. It means without interruption. That means that the Lord never, ever allows anything to interrupt our way to victory. And why am I saying these things this morning? Why would the Lord remind us of those things? Because things are going to get tough, ladies and gentlemen, in the next few months. And there are going to come things in your life that are going to want to get and cause an interruption in your walk towards victory in Christ. And I believe what the Lord is doing, he's trying to blanket his church to wake them up to the reality that in spite of what happens this year, next year, or the coming years, or in your life, we need to solidify, we need to stand on the foundation of believing that we are more than overcomers and this too shall pass. Some of us may say, well, Paul wrote these words and it must have been pretty easy for him. After all, he lived during the times of Christ and, you know, he walked in the same soil Jesus did while he was walking on earth. And, you know, what? Maybe he was Jesus' favorite guy. This is why he could easily speak. It's kind of like when, you know, he has everything. So why not say, I'm victorious all the time? No, that's not why he wrote these words. And that's not when he wrote these words. If you know anything about the life of Paul, you know that he is one of the most suffered men in Scripture. One of the men who has had more experiences than many of us in this place in suffering for Christ. It was Paul. As a matter of fact, these very words that he penned down after going through a terrible life-threatening experience in his life. And he writes in 2 Corinthians 2 and 4, listen to what he said. He says, for I wrote you out of great distress and anguish of heart and with many tears. Not to grieve you, but to let you know the depth of my love for you. But listen, when he wrote these letters, you would think, well, he must have sitting somewhere having a nice ice-cold glass of tea and enjoying himself. And I wonder how Christians are doing. No, he was in the middle of prisons. He was in the middle of being outcast. He was in the middle of stonings. He was in the middle of hunger. He was in the middle of lack. Even those that walked with him at times of like faith abandoned him at times. He was suffered in very many ways. But yet he was able to write down, thanks be to the Lord. Now, why could he do that? It's because, again, he believed that Jesus had made him more than an overcomer. Paul said, listen, he writes in Romans 8:36, we are killed all the day long and counted as sheep for the slaughter. What he's saying is believers like us, every day we're going to go through suffering. We're going to go through trials. When I was talking to these ladies on the phone, I was praying for them. Man, I could feel it in my heart, their pain that they were going through. And I began to remember the words of Christ. In this world, you have sufferings. And this is what Paul is saying. We are killed all the day long. We may never be stoned like Paul was, or never be let out to starve like Paul was, or never being put in the bottom of a dungeon like Paul was. But we go through things in life that cause us great suffering as these people. But Paul says, he says, in spite of all that, he says in this very same verse, in spite of everything that we go through, all the circumstances, being abused and slandered and humiliated and outcast and ostracized and pushed back and left for hunger and lacking and all these things. He said, in spite of every dark day and every dark thing we go through life, he said, I write to you these words, we are more than overcomers. We are more than overcomers. What a wonderful truth to learn this morning. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. And ladies and gentlemen, I told the church this morning, I said, if Jesus takes us home today, some of us will go with him in the midst of trouble. How many of us have been having trouble lately over certain things in life? Yeah, right? And some of us, well, you may not have any trouble, but if you live another day and you leave this church and tomorrow you wake up, guaranteed, we'll ask you again, and this time you'll raise your hand, because every day brings its sorrows. And we're bound to go through those dark times. Jesus said we'd go through these things. But he said, I have made you more than overcomers. I've come to destroy the works of the evil one. I've come to settle things. I've not changed my plan for you. Whatever it is that you may be going through this morning, whatever it is, whether it be sickness, whether it be socially, whether it be at work, whether it be financially, whatever it is that you're going through, we need never forget to always stand or walk in God, knowing his truth and the things that he says. One of the things that I believe that led, a couple of the things anyway that I believe led Paul in his walk of victory all the time, and I'll give you just a couple of things this morning to take home. The first thing that I learned from him is he always refused to walk away from Christ. Always refused to walk away from Christ. He decided to stay with him on the long haul. Remember, it was Paul who said, you know, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He expressed to the church how torn up he was in his heart, saying, you know, in my heart I'm torn between what seems to be two lovers. He goes, my heart desires to go with Christ, which is much better for me. If I could have my way, I'd rather go with him. But because I love you, it's to your benefit that I stay here. And so he says, for me to live it's Christ. I'm going to live for Christ another day until I stop breathing. But to die would get me where I want to be most of all, and that is in his presence. But he refused, in spite of everything he went through. He refused, in spite of every trouble he ever saw, to walk away from Christ. It's a sad thing, ladies and gentlemen, to see people who are going through dark circumstances in their life that they walk away from the Lord. We've seen that experience in Scripture, and we've seen it in person. See, Paul learned something, and this is why he penned down in Philippians chapter 4, verse 30, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Why would you ever want to leave one who can do all things for you? I told the church this morning, I said, all of us guys, we have this particular little toolbox at home where we have everything. I do. Some of the guys can concur, right? And even some of the ladies. You ladies, in some drawer, you have this little box where you have everything. Mom, do you have scissors? Yep. Mom, I'm needing a needle. And Mom, I need a little piece of thread. Everything is there. Everything but the kitchen sink. And it's the same way with men. Hey, Dad, I need a screwdriver. It's right there, but leave my box alone. Dad, you know, I don't know. I need a screw, but not a long one. Oh, wow. And so you have everything. It's probably the most treasured thing you have in your house, so you don't want anybody to mess with it. You never want to leave it. Why? You may go somewhere and you say the first thing you want to take is that little box that has everything. You see, Paul understood that, and I forgive the analogy. But he understood the principle is the same. When you find somebody like Christ who can do all things for you, why would you ever want to leave him? Why would you ever want to walk away? Again, the saddest thing is to think that there's something broken in your life that God cannot fix. For what a man, for what's impossible for men is possible for God. Amen? So during a dark time should not be a time to run away, but more a time to run to him, because he is the box that can fix all things. And Paul understood that. And this is why, in spite of him being stoned or wherever his shipwreck, wherever he may have been, he knew that he had that security box. He had that relationship with Christ. He knew that no matter what it was, if it was a tempest, if it was some kind of hurricane, some kind of sickness. Remember, Paul was sick in his body. Remember he spoke about that thorn in his flesh? We can't say he never got sick. I can say that he never got over it. But he never walked away. And so this is a message of strength for you. God has made you an overcomer. And if you believe that, you'll know that you'll stay with him every day of your life. There's a great promise, and I love to read this Psalms. When you demonstrate your love of stay with Christ, he says in Psalm 91 and 14, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and I will show him my salvation. I can do all things through Christ. That's a promise. And he is faithful to his promise. So if he can do all things and you can do all things through him, why would you ever even entertain the thought of walking away from Christ? The second thing about Paul is he convinced himself to believe him. How many times do we use the word believe, but you really don't? It's really easy to find out when someone believes. All they have to do is go through a hard time and you know where their faith is, where their belief system is, how the level or the gauge, if you will. Everybody can say and shout victory when they're feeling great in their body. But can anybody give a big hurrah when they're dying of pancreatic cancer? Anybody can blow the trumpet and call their friends to celebrate when the trophy is on the shelf. But can someone find a cause to celebrate when the doctor's giving you bad news? See, right there, we use that term, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where you separate the men from the boys. You know, all these things that we say here. This is when you find out that you really believe in Christ, because when you go through that time, scratching the surface of your heart enough, you'll find out what your heart really holds deep inside. Jesus said in John 14 and 1, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. Trust. What is faith, belief, and confidence? All of that is absolutely necessary to encourage our belief system in Christ. And depending on the gauge and the level of that belief system and that trust in us is going to determine whether we walk a life of victory or a life of despair. We live sometimes very confused lives in the eyes of other people because we declare while things are good that God is good and everything is awesome. But once we hear that something's happening outside of our control, we panic. But yet everything that we have pertaining Christ in our lives is standing on the foundation of believing. John 3:15, that everyone who believes, this is John 3:16, John 3:15, for God so loved the world, you remember, but right before it says that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. So that means that eternal life is standing on the foundation of your belief system, on your faith in God. John 5:24, I tell you the truth that whoever hears my word and believes him who has sent me has eternal life. Our eternal life is standing on the foundation of our trust and faith and belief system in him. 1 John 3:23, and this is the command, to believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. This is an order of the Lord. We are called to truly have confidence, not simply say we believe, but to truly have confidence and faith and trust in him, because everything is held fast and secure through faith. And what are the promises that God has to us? You think we're going through a tough time now, or we're going to be going through a tough time in the future, this is the promise of the Lord in 2 Timothy 4:18, and the Lord shall deliver me. How many believe that this morning? Amen? How many believe that? And the Lord shall deliver me. The devil may wait for someone to get weak. That's one of the very clear distinctives that makes him, that identifies the devil's work. He'll always wait for you while you're feeling weak, while you're not praying, while you're not fasting, while you're not reading God's word, while you're not testifying. He'll wait till you get hungry, just like Christ in the Mount of Temptation. He waited for the body of Christ to get weak and feeble because he was hungry to come to him. He said, then the devil came. Then the enemy came after he had been fasting for these many days. So we cannot afford to stop praying. We cannot afford to stop reading God's word. We cannot afford to stop witnessing and testifying and fasting and coming to church and attending and praising and loving Jesus. We need to maintain our spiritual nutrients so that the devil can never see you weak and come to you. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. I believe that. I've read this passage time and time again, and I read it every now and then when I see things going the way they are in this world that we live. Truly, this is a very merited question, if you will. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? That's a question to ask because of the way things are going. Will the Lord find people who trust in him when he comes back? We are more apt to trust things that we hear on the news or things that we see with our eyes versus to have faith in what he said. And finally this morning, I finish with Paul was always living an overcoming life. Why? Because he never forgot, ladies and gentlemen, his right to claim his promise. Some of us really need to hear this morning. You forget to ask God. Remember, Jesus said, You have not because you ask not. You may hear on occasion, don't even bother God with it. You know what to do. Oh, that's an easy answer you're looking for. Why even take time? Just get ahead and do it. Why bother God? Remember they told Jairus that his daughter was dying sick. He wanted Jesus to go and to minister to his family. And someone told him, why are you going to bother? As if somehow we're going to become a nuisance to Christ. But it's all the contrary in Scripture, ladies and gentlemen. Did not the Lord say through his prophet, call unto me and I will respond? Did he not say, like I just said right now, you have because you ask not. If any two will agree over anything, ask and it shall be given unto you. All these things, these words, these promises, these truths are found in God's word. We don't know about them because maybe we don't read them, but they are there. This is going to build you up to believe, to get to a point where you know that regardless of what you go through in life, this too shall pass. You are an overcomer already. I said, you're an overcomer already. Paul never, ever forgot to make his request known to God and say, Lord, you said. I'll read this last passage for you because it's really inspiring to me. And if I'm the only one that gets blessed, I feel like being blessed again. It's found in Joshua chapter 14. Have you ever read about Caleb? Anybody ever read about Caleb? I mean, really read a little. There's not much told about him, his ancestry and stuff like that. But there's just little peaks. We take a look at his life. He's such an awesome man. You remember Caleb, just to paraphrase a little bit or to give you a little insight. He's the one of the 12 tribes. Remember that Moses sent into Canaan to go examine the land? Remember? He sent him and Joshua and the other 10. And he said over there, go find out. You know, we understand that it's a land flowing of milk and honey. See what the fruit looks like. See what the terrain looks like. See what's up. And they all go out there. And of course, you know the story that out of the 12, 10 came back with a really negative testimony. They saw the sons of Anak and all these giants that were living there that were absolutely warriors, that were tremendously skillful in the art of war. And they came back absolutely trembling at the knees and they told Moses, there's no way. There's no way that we're going to make it into that land. Somebody lied to us. Look at us. They're twice the size. They're more skilled than we are. We're not people of war. Look at these guys. And the Bible says that the whole nation, the whole people of Israel wailed. And they cried through the night. But there was two. Caleb and Joshua. And I love what the scripture says about Caleb. And this is how scripture should speak of us. Especially in this world that we live in. He says, Caleb was of a different spirit. That he wasn't like the rest. And ladies and gentlemen, I've come to give you news. We should not be like the rest. The problem is that we're trying to be like the rest. But we are called to not be like the rest. We are a singular people in the body of Christ. We are of a different spirit. Oh, I wish I had somebody who would believe that. We are of a different spirit. And that's what it says about Caleb. And so anyway, we find here now, after 45 years, they congregate together. Let me read this to you and I'll finish. I promise I'll finish. Joshua 14 and 6. Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him. This is Caleb talking. Joshua. You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I can see these old guys talking to each other and maybe at the foot of a hill. Come here, man. I want to talk to you. Now, you and I know what I'm about to tell you, you're going to remember clearly. What the Lord told Moses, the one who was leading us, the man of God, what God told Moses about you and me. Let's set the table here. He said, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. You remember, Joshua, you and I went 40 years ago, man. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. See, Caleb was of a different spirit. He confided, he trusted, he believed in God. They sent me out there and I came back and I told him what was in my heart. While the other people were crying out, they're going to eat us like bread. And Caleb said, if God is with us, who can be against us? And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. However, Joshua, I follow the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on the day Moses swore to me, the land which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. You hear what he's saying? Let me keep reading. Now then, he says, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years. I'm 85 years standing in front of you now. Been 45 years. I've been off the battle. I've been off to wars. He promised me 40 years, over 40 years ago. And I didn't get anything. And I kept walking. I kept serving the Lord. I kept fighting. I kept going through the dark days and the troubles and all of these things. And here I am at 85 years old, Joshua. God has kept me alive since the time he said to Moses, while Israel moved about the desert. Man, I went through it all, he said. So here I am today, 85 years old. But don't let my age fool you. I am still as strong today as the day when Moses sent me out. And I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. And here comes the demand. He said, now give me this hill. Give me this hill country that the Lord promised me on that day. 45 years, ladies and gentlemen. Caleb was holding on to a promise. He never forgot. And that promise, his trust in God's faithfulness to fulfill that promise, kept him going from the moment God spoke to him to the very moment it was time for him to collect. Wasn't it Paul, ladies and gentlemen, who said, I have fought the good fight. Amen. I've run the race and I have kept the faith. Then he says, now what's in store for me? Because I haven't forgotten. I have not forgotten what the promise was initially. But I finished my race. I fought the fight all these years that you've seen me go through, prisons and hungers and pains and stonings and everything else, the suffering that you've seen me. I've never lost sight of one thing, that now, he said, what's in store for me is a crown of righteousness. And not only for me, and this is speaking to you, to me, the church of today, not only for me, but to all who love his appearing, the Bible says. Caleb traveled through all the suffering and the trials of his life and never forgot. Not even knowing that what fueled his walk with God was the fact that he had gotten a word. Ladies and gentlemen, the word for you this morning is you are an overcomer. Let that fuel your walk with God. God gave you a word when he saved you. And that word you hold in your hand called the Bible. And that word is written, and every promise in it is written for you. If you'll believe that word, that will be the fuel in your feet and in your heart that will keep you going not only now, but until it's time to collect. Because I promise you one day, like Caleb and like Paul, we will stand before him one day and say, Lord, remember you sent me out. But I've been out there. You kept me alive all these years. I went through a liver cirrhosis. I went through all these pains, and I went through all this other stuff. I stayed preaching the gospel all these years. I went through the sufferings. I went through the love. I went through the hatreds. I went through the criticisms. I went through everything. And what has fueled me to keep going is that you said at the end of this journey, there was a crown of righteousness waiting for me. Now today, give me that hill. You promised to make me more than an overcomer. How did I get through the dark days of my life? I knew that storms didn't last forever because you made me more than an overcomer. When the difficult circumstances came in my life, and I could have had every opportunity to turn away, I said, no, no, no. He gave me a word. I am more than an overcomer. Whenever things came and challenged me in my direction, I said, no, 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 no. He has made me more than an overcomer. I don't know what you might be going through this morning in your life. And some things may come to your life that may cause you to question and to doubt and to hurt and to feel negatively sometimes. But I've come to remind you this morning in the name of the Lord that the promise still stands. Upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of turmoil and trouble and sickness and hardship and a world at war and everything else will never overcome you. For he has spoken that for us.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.